It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today.
Our backs are to the walls, ladies and gentlemen, and we've run out of places to hide.
Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We've got a great show for you. Right, it's great.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
Hey, this is Kevin Nash. You're listening to Doc Young.
I've never heard of a bigger baby in my life
than the legendary Les Thatcher.
I'm Mel. Hey, Les Thatcher.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
Thank you.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
That's pretty damn cool.
That is cool.
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling Weekly. I am Doc Young, alongside my broadcast homie, Les Thatcher.
Okay, was I promoted from partner or colleague to homie?
Yes.
All right. Is that up or down? I'm not sure.
That's up. We're tight like that now.
Oh, okay.
Before we get to my dog. Yes, you are my dog, sir. We've got WSX, of course, Wrestling Society X producer slash writer Kevin Kleinrock is going to be here with us tonight.
Right.
He's going to be discussing the WSX Season 1 DVD.
Okay.
Which I can't wait to get my hands on. I liked WSX. It was entertaining stuff, and hopefully they'll actually put some of those online matches on. The ones that they put online with the full, without the edits and stuff like that, those I liked, the ones they showed online.
You know what? I don't even watch you online, so I have no earthly idea what you're talking about, but that's okay.
Right. Also,
your homie, so that's all it's important.
And our featured guest tonight is former WWE superstar Chris Masters, now going by Chris Mordetsky.
Which is his real name, right?
That's his real name.
Well, you know.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Before we get to the news and jump into this tonight, I do want to wish a happy, happy birthday to my sister. It's my sister's birthday today.
I want to wish your sister a happy birthday, and my condolences for being your sister. Somebody has to be, and she, bless her heart, she stuck with it.
Yes, yes, yes.
This has nothing to do with wrestling, but I am a big Washington Redskins fan, and John Taylor passed away today. He was shot in his home Sunday night in Florida, and 24 years old, man.
That's a crazy story. I really did think that he was going to pull through when I heard about this.
Well, that was the thing in the paper this morning and on the news, you know, he was responsive, but I guess he was what they hit was an artery, and he lost a lot of blood, and I guess it.
Yeah, you know. it was in the leg.
Yeah, you know, Ken Timms, the late Ken Timms, his children were in a car wreck this past week, and Juanita, his widow, posts on Georgia Wrestling History a lot. And anyway, the son is home, but the daughter had to have part of her colon taken out. So it was pretty bad, but she's. As I found out today, she's doing a lot better. They were afraid they're going to do surgery on a shoulder and arm, but they're not now. But anyway, she's only fear now is that because of the colon surgery, there may be some infection set in or something. So anyway, we want to wish them the very best too. So.
Absolutely, yeah. Also, not in wrestling news, but something that I thought was interesting and made me think of you less today was that there are now reports that Marie Osmond faked that fainting on Dancing with the Stars a few weeks ago. Did you read about this?
No, I hadn't, and I don't believe it. So what's your...
A lot of people don't believe this, but
Who said she did?
Sources from the set, it says, you know.
Oh, okay.
So
whatever.
Who knows
that? See, we watch the show. No, I don't... you know, it just... You'd have to see it.
Right.
I don't believe that's true. I do believe she blew her chances of winning. Last night was the finals in the freestyle dance. she and her partner decided to do something that was really off the wall. Anyway, that's neither here nor there either.
But, that's right. but yeah, I just thought that was interesting. Of course, she categorically denies it. And, you know, maybe it was...
Well, you know, she says that when she gets excited, she'll tend to hold her breath, and it's just something that happens.
Yeah, I did see the footage.
And the
later.
Other part of it is, if you watch it in context, you know, you'd have to scratch your head and say, well, why would she have done it? I mean,
right?
You know,
it's not like they need the ratings boost.
I don't think so. No,
you know?
I tell you, that show carries some strong numbers.
Right.
No, they have no Hornswoggle.
Nope.
Or Kurt Angle dressed as Pilgrim, and they do very well without either.
Yes.
Speaking of which, I scratched my head last Thanksgiving night with TNA. Everybody was excited. They got a 1 rating on Thanksgiving night, which I guess is good. I thought the whole show-long shtick of Kurt and Karen Angle dressed as Pilgrims hosting Thanksgiving dinner, and James Storm, who tried to blind Chris Harris, and he and Harris sitting side by side, it was, I can't use the words here on the show, BS.
Yeah.
Strong, capital B, capital S. Stupidity, yes, I know it's all a work, believe me, nobody has to tell me, but there's a thing about, you know, keep staying in the storylines and stuff, and just the whole thing was just... stupid with a capital S, that I can't say.
It was very cartoonish.
Well, yeah, it was very Vince Russo-ish.
Yes.
And Les is not picking on TNA, it's just, it was, it's, well, again, and your lead heel, your main event guy, your world champion, is a doofus. Okay. And if he doesn't have heat, you'll wonder why.
Right.
And it's no, it's not because it's Angle. It'd be anybody. I mean, I don't
right.
care who it is.
And you, to be fair to TNA,
you don't make your tie. You don't make your lead heel into a doofus.
Right.
And well, they do, but
right. you're not supposed to.
Did I mention that's stupid? Yeah. I thought
yes.
I did. Okay. Just checking. Okay.
But we, you know, to be fair to TNA, last night there was some cartoonish stuff too. The Roadrunner continued on WWE.
Oh yeah. Well, you know what. I'm going to say, you know, Flair and Charlotte's going to get a pop if he does nothing.
Right.
And I'm a huge Ric Flair a fan. He's a personal friend. He has been for years. You know, I've known Ric since his second year in the business. But my question is this. When Vince McMahon came out and said, well, this is what's going to happen, and if you lose, you're retired. My question is to you, or to God, or anybody else, why?
Mm-hmm. No reason why.
Well, no, and it's that's my. I mean, it's like, hello, creative writers. You've just jumped 4,000 years into the future. You've left a huge credibility gap. Well, you know, hear me. You know, I'm about detail and about logic. First of all, I would not have heard Flair say he's never going to retire because they know that's BS too.
Right.
You should have said, but not now. You know, now's not the time. And then you could have taken a couple weeks to build the storyline, and then if he had told, you know, if Vince had argued with him and you're over the hill, and he could have slandered Vince verbally or punched him in the nose or you know, patted Stephanie on the butt or what. I don't even care, you know, but something that would have created a situation for Vince. But, I mean, it's just like, oh, hey, this is the line where I come out and say you're retired if you lose. I sat here and I thought,
I was sitting here thinking about you.
What the F is that?
I was like, I wonder what Les is doing right now.
self-abuse.
Yeah.
Simply because it's more entertaining. I mean, no, it's just, I mean, there's no credibility. I mean, it's just no logic. No.
Right.
It's not what's the storyline?
And I guess the storyline.
You've got 45 years to tell me why. And, of course, you can give me 1,000 reasons, but you didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess this is what I just heard, but the storyline originally was supposed to be Ric Flair was going to quit himself if he lost a match. That was going to be his motivation to keep going. But supposedly it was overruled by McMahon.
Like you say, there's no valid reason for any of this.
Right.
I mean, it's just, again, it's a huge whole credibility gap in the storyline, and I see no value in it. I honestly don't.
Right, but finally, though...
Quite a few few things that makes, you know, I'm not real comfortable with the Vicky Guerrero Edge thing.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm just not. I know it's a work. You don't have to tell me that, but I'm, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. But anyway, where do you go with Jericho and Orton? You can't. Well, you can. They can do anything they want, and probably will. But I can't see a valid spot where Jericho has to lose his first shot out of the. I mean, to me, him and the champion should have been built to.
Right.
You know, again, logic. You know, and there is none. And the thing with Flair and Orton makes no sense either.
Right.
You know.
Who better in the chat room says, Les, what were you doing when Hornswoggle ran through the wall?
I didn't see Hornswoggle ran through the wall. I watched Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, okay.
I missed, thank God.
He's in a locker room with Carlito, and there's just like this doorway painted in the wall, and I'm serious, just like the Roadrunner. And Hornswoggle runs through the wall. And Carlito looks at it, and nah. He's thinking about it, and finally just rears back and tries to run through it. Hits the wall, lands on the floor. Ron Simmons comes in, of course, and
it's
you know,
dam.
Hugh the Dam.
Yeah, okay, well,
and,
whatever.
And that was it.
I'm going to say, I don't watch Jackass either. Is Jackass still on?
I don't think so.
Well, good.
I didn't watch it when it was on because...
No, I just, you know, I think this whole, the whole thing is just, it's, I'm sorry. You know, if it entertains somebody with an IQ of about 4, I'm real cool with that.
Yeah.
It doesn't entertain me, you know. I mean, it's just—it's not my, you know, it's not my cup of tea.
Right.
It's not, you know. There's certain type of movies that I don't watch. As I told you, I've never seen Freddy's Dead 1 or 43.
Right.
Or the 41 in between 41 and, or 1 and 43. But
mm-hmm.
That's just—it's not, you know. I'm not into that stuff, and I love the wrestling business, but I'm not into that nonsense either.
Right. And I know
not.
It doesn't sell tickets.
Well,
but...
you know, here's something else. And talk about a little. Why are you beating Umaga? I mean, you know, how many strong heels do you have? And in a meaningless tag match,
mm-hmm.
Why would you beat him? And the other part is the whole thing with Regal just out of the clear. So, okay, it's going to be Triple H against Hardy.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the style clash there. Although Jeff has come a long way of the two Hardys, and this is not personal because I think Jeff's a nice kid, and I like Matt. Matt's just a better technician,
right?
In terms of being a better worker. I know for the girls that are out there, Jeff is the bigger deal because he does whatever Jeff does. I can't put a name to it, but and paints his hair and wears funny gloves, but but he's come a long way in terms of his technical skills. But still, I just don't, you know, I don't see the value in him and Helmsley either. You know, and it's not that a Triple H position he can elevate Jeff if they do it that way. But then I just don't. I mean, you stand there scratching your butt and saying, "Well, hey, let's do this."
Right.
Again, my question is a big WHY exclamation mm-hmm. point. Why?
Yeah.
You know, well, because we just decided to do it. Oh, okay, well, hell, then let me buy a ticket for that.
Right.
I mean, it's like the Colts and the Patriots. It's like the Lakers and the Celtics of years. I mean, it's you build to a confrontation and put some reasoning behind it, and people have a reason to – you know, to hang their hat on it. But unless you do that, I'm clueless. Maybe they're just too smart for me. I don't know.
Right. And you were talking earlier about, you know, Vicky Guerrero in that position and that, you know, it was kind of uncomfortable. I guess what it was Crystal Marshall had released a statement over her official website saying that this is the storyline that they wanted to give to her. This is why she got fired, because she didn't want to do it. She said it was morally wrong. It was morally degrading, is what she had said. And she compared it to Lita, the storyline with Edge and Lita, and made mention that the way...
Well, and let me say this. For whatever reason, our industry usually portrays most women as sluts to begin with, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I say that, I don't mean that in an offensive way to women, because I'm not... I'm not a male chauvinist pig. You know, I'm all for women's rights and liberals and all that. But, you know, for some reason, every woman is a slut in our business, or, you know, 90% of them anyway.
Right.
But the thing that bothers me with Vicky is that, you know, she's Eddie's widow.
Right.
Yes, you know, I know it's a work, but I'm just not extremely comfortable with that situation. So.
Right. It seems to me like Vicky's only in this situation because Crystal wouldn't do it. But Crystal said she didn't want to be remembered as, you know, the...
Putting it in perspective, I realize that professional wrestling creates, you know, most women are harlots or sluts or, you know, vicious bitches or whatever. I don't
right.
know, call it whatever you like. But, I mean, I understand Crystal not wanting to do it, but I would see it working. I mean, I wouldn't be uncomfortable. It would just be so ho-hum. It's another situation that they've done that it's been done to death.
Right.
But, you know, with Crystal, I wouldn't be uncomfortable with it. You know, with Vicky, it's more due to Eddie than it is anything else.
Definitely.
Me, you know.
One of the big news stories this week, of course, Hogan knows divorce.
You know, is this welcome to the Weekly National Enquirer, the wrestling version, or... I want to say you and I were talking about this before we went here. It's just,
yes. It's still news, though. I mean, you got
of course,
a big story.
If they had talk shows from the 47 years I've been in this business and everything was why, you know, there's been a lot of divorces. Of course, they all haven't been Hulk Hogan. The kid that was in the car, the one that's in the hospital that was in the car with Nick,
yes.
John, I can't think of the last name, I'm
Graziano.
Sorry.
Graziano.
Yeah. His lawyer made the statement. He kind of thinks this might be a work, too.
To
save, you know,
hide
assets. Now,
yes.
Whether it is or not, and I've heard some people speculate that it's, you know, to help hopefully get VH1 to put him back on the air. You know, all that's done is sad if that's the facts. I don't know. You know, I really don't know.
That would be really terrible if that is the case. But the most speculation that I have seen from just, you know, casual wrestling fans or whatever, is that Hogan is doing this to try to hide assets in case of a potential lawsuit, which is
well, you
almost
know,
a given.
I mean, you know, it's as crazy it is, again, I suppose, you know, everybody finds or second guesses everything that goes on, you know, with entertainers and professional athletes.
This is true.
What's their ulterior motive? Why does there have to, you know... if my next-door neighbor and his wife decide to get a divorce, first of all, it won't make the papers except, you know, unless it's in the legal section that it's been filed for, but there won't be a big – nobody will speculate, well, you know, why is Jerry and Sue, you know, doing this? And maybe legitimately with the Hogans, maybe they just have grown apart over the years. I don't know. You know, I mean – Who's to say? I'm certainly not. You know, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, if something comes to this later on and, you know, comes out that it's been one of the two things we're talking about here, then, you know, then you can point your fingers at them and say, shame on you. But at this point, it's, you know, it's a divorce, right?
Yeah.
So.
Certainly is. It's all been but confirmed by the Wrestling Observer that Carlito is leaving WWE. He recently gave his notice. He's expected to finish up in December.
Uh-huh. Well, it's kind of noteworthy, I guess, that he's done everything. He's been he's obviously made somebody mad, or is obviously leaving or something, because of the way he's been used of late.
Right.
I don't know. You know, I was never the goofy apple thing was never part of my most favorite hits in the business, and Carlito was, you know, I don't know what was, because it was Carlos' son, more was expected. I'm not sure, you know, I don't mean this in a slanderous or insulting way, but he was never a main event guy to me. He was, I mean, just a young, you know, nice young kid that had some talent, you know, but so I'm sure he'll go back to the island and, you know, be a star with the family and probably work some independence here on the mainland because simply because of his, you know, WWE affiliation and exposure on the TV.
Yeah, can make him some money.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what it's about, isn't it?
Carlito's already booked to appear at a wrestling show in Puerto Rico on the 6th. And supposedly AAA in Mexico is trying to land him.
Well, yeah, I guess he'd fit in down there, too. You don't get to see a lot of, they have not used him where he does a lot of flying or, stuff. So, that's a side of him I haven't seen, so I couldn't comment on that.
WWE.com is reporting that Matt Hardy underwent emergency appendectomy surgery last Tuesday night in Tampa, Florida, while we were doing the show here, Les.
Yeah.
Basically, they took his appendix out.
Yeah. Well, it ruptured.
Yes.
And they found this out once they got him to the hospital, I guess.
Yeah. He said he hadn't been feeling good. He felt horrible. Well, basically, in his own words, he said he felt like he was dying, that it hurt so bad. But what happened was the appendix had ruptured. The toxins were spilling into his body. And they said it was pretty lucky that he came there when he did because it was almost too late.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a... I in 1972 I had hepatitis and discovered it by accident, but when the doctor diagnosed it, he said, "Man, you're so lucky," he said, because he thumped my liver, which was like a watermelon,
mm-hmm.
And he said, a kick in the right place, and you'd have been dead.
Right.
Because, the way it was swollen, and it would have ruptured, and the poisons in there would have spread in my system, and in just a matter of seconds, I'd have been gone. So.
You had told this story quite a while ago on the show, but I don't remember. Did you get this from wrestling?
What?
I'm
well aware, where else would I have gotten it? The doctor said to me, every night that you, of course, you realize, say every night, we were wrestling five, six, seven nights a week sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you walk from that dressing room to the arena, and people that come to those matches, if they have a germ, they've spit on the floor or what have you.
Yep.
You walk through that.
Yeah.
And then you track that into that can. That canvas has pores, and it's grainy. And then your feet slide across the canvas, and you end up... putting that in the canvas, and you lay face down and inhale it.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, when he says it that way, he sure is right, And even as far back as 72, he said, do a lot of wrestlers have hepatitis? And I thought, well, I've known of a couple, he said, I'm surprised that they all, or a huge majority don't end up with it due to that reason.
Right.
The sanitation thing, so. So I'm sure that's where it came from.
And a lot of people wonder, how come they always have. Oh, I'm trying to think of what it is when you have to lance an injury and squeeze it out. What do you call it? It almost kills you, or it could kill you when something gets infected really bad.
I don't know.
The Undertaker had it.
A staph infection.
They always wonder why.
Well, there's
all these staff. Wrestlers.
I wrote about this in my column a couple weeks. There's a staph now. They call it Superbug.
Uh-huh.
That's picked up in hospitals and that.
Yeah.
And I had mentioned in my column a couple weeks ago that this son, when I had a company, we had disinfectant in a commercial bug sprayer type thing, right, that you
mm-hmm.
walk around and spray bush stuff with.
Right.
And we sprayed a couple of the ropes and canvas a couple times a week. And then, of course, we had a carpet steam cleaning unit that we used to clean our canvases and stuff. I was saying in the column, dude, this super bug thing, that's something that a lot of these promoters, I'll tell you, a lot of the small promotions have, it's unsanitary conditions.
Yep.
The canvases never get cleaned, and
yeah.
stuff like that.
And
so.
Some people do wonder, what I was saying earlier is why all these wrestlers seem to get staph infections. This is the reason why.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's, you know, and the other part is, you know, back when the AIDS scare was so, I mean, not that it's still not an AIDS scare, but,
right.
You know, the bleeding. Well, if you remember that The Undertaker was really put off the fact that Bob Orton Jr. was bleeding in one of the matches that he was managing Randy.
Yes.
And Taker found out that Bobby had hepatitis.
Yes.
You know, and was afraid that he could have contracted it through that, you know, the transfer of blood. So, yeah, it's, you know, a lot of things, you know. I now, see, there's the other thing. I had done blade jobs before the hepatitis, and I did them after.
Mm-hmm.
Never crossed my mind,
right.
You know, that, you know, of transferring. I mean, and it's not that I, you know, I always kept. That was one of the things. I know, you know, always kept clean gear, washed my, you know, my trunks.
Right.
Took care of my stuff because it's just, you know, that's something that should be promoted in the business. A lot of times it's not, is you know, hygiene.
Yes.
And being sanitary. But, yeah, that staph infection thing, I know here in town, it's not, my wife is down in home in the Carolinas and saying that she'd heard about it down there, and I... At the same time, it was getting here. The scary thing is, a lot of people are picking this bug up in hospitals.
Yeah,
which is where you think it'd be more you'd be safer there in terms of sanitation than you would, you know, anyplace else.
Yeah, there's a lot of places in hospitals though that.
Oh sure, I know, but I mean,
have to be unsanitary. There's just no other way.
Well, but you'd think, you know, if you're in a bed there would be a sterile environment other than your own, you know,
right.
Germs. You shouldn't be, you know.
Right. It is scary to think about it. But we went off on a tangent for a little bit. But to go back to Matt Hardy, just to let you guys know, the surgery is going to keep him out of action for 1 to 3 months. He's got to, you know, have these antibiotics put through an IV. He's got to get rid of all the toxins that are in his system and stuff like that. And it's going to take a little time to recover.
Well, you know, and where that surgery takes place in your lower abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to realize what kind of stretch goes, you know, in that part of your body. So, you know.
Right. A lot of people were confused at first, like 1 to 3 months to have your appendix out. And it wasn't a typical, you know, appendix surgery.
Yeah, right.
Is the case. Guys, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, Kevin Kleinrock is going to be with us. He's from Wrestling Society X. We haven't talked to a Wrestling Society X guy in a long time. But now, of course, DVD is coming out, Wrestling Society X Season 1.
It is out, is it not?
It is out. Yes, it is.
Okay.
I misspoke, sir. But yes, it is out. You can get it now. But we're going to be talking with him about that and, you know, memories of Wrestling Society X. Of course, Chris Masters is going to be here with us in just a little bit. And, of course, we've got more news for you here on Wrestling Weekly. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We will be right back, guys.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Brooklyn! Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin's Raven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, It's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
On total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Yeah, baby, I know I'm hot and everything, but you just gotta check out wrestling-radio.com. They're hotter than ever before, with the latest news, videos, and exclusive interviews that you won't get anywhere else. It'll turn you on.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania, the largest arms in the world, run wild on you?
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do, baby. I'm gonna go right to wrestling-radio.com to hear shows like Heaven Legends, The Irish Whip, and Wrestling Weekly. It's unbelievable the amount of wrestling media they have on this website. There's so many wrestling radio shows, it will blow your head off.
If you want some, come get some.
Oh, I'm coming, baby. And it's not too bad either. It's right to wrestling-radio.com. Gotta log on to check out all the stuff going on there. They're better than ever before. With their brand new ideas, wrestling-radio.com is guaranteed to take over the internet and revolutionize wrestling radio like never before.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Wrestling-radio.com, revolutionizing wrestling radio for wrestling fans everywhere.
Mr. Kennedy! Kennedy!
Woo!
Welcome back, everybody. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you here at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, he is the producer slash writer slash, he does it all over there at
Chief Cook and Bottle Washer.
MTV's Wrestling Society X, Kevin Kleinrock is with us. Kevin, thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me.
We've got, of course, the big news is that the Wrestling Society X Season 1 DVD is coming out.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been out most places for a while. It just hit Best Buy today on Tuesday, and really looking forward. We're getting great feedback so far. I'm so excited about the feedback that we're getting online. I know that even Gabe Sapolsky from Ring of Honor went on their ROH message board singing the praises of the DVD, which meant a lot to me. Someone I have a lot of respect for when it comes to the wrestling, and I can't wait to hear what Les has to say about it, because Les has got nothing to say.
Les has nothing to
Les
say.
Les hasn't seen it.
Yeah, we didn't get our copies, sir.
Well, we're gonna have to fire the guy in the mailroom and get those out to you.
What a great politician you've become in your old age, Kevin. Doc was saying about, and I'm not the most cyber literate person in the world, so I don't do YouTube either, but he was saying that some of the uncut matches ran on the Internet. Are any of those on the DVD?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. The DVD set, I mean, really what we tried to do was, you know, we knew that this was it. This was our everything. You know, the show ran. It was canceled. It's not coming back as Wrestling Society X. And so there was no point in holding anything back. We put everything we had, both tape-wise and emotionally, into this DVD release. You get the basics of all 9 episodes that aired, plus all 9 WS Extra, which was the Internet show, episodes that aired. And the Internet show had extended skits. It had matches that weren't cut for TV time, so you weren't getting all the gratuitous crowd shots. Longer matches that kind of made more sense to a lot of the wrestling fans when you were able to keep in some of the selling, and you were able to have longer matches that were kind of better paced for someone like your taste or my taste. But then also you get episode 10, which never aired, the season finale, which some people are already saying was worth the price of the DVD in and of itself. Really, my honest opinion, and I know maybe I'm a little biased, but I swear to you, had that aired, it would have been considered 22 of the most entertaining minutes in pro wrestling television history. I mean, I'm not saying necessarily the most exciting 22 minutes, but it was up there. It was absolutely up there. And so you've got all that basic content, but then you've got literally hours and hours and hours of extra content, deleted scenes that didn't make air because of time or because of storylines changing at the last minute since we knew we weren't getting picked up. And you get right before them, you get kind of graphics that explain where the promo fit, where, you know, what the purpose behind it was. But then you also get what I kind of, my goal with this DVD wasn't just to give people everything Wrestling Society X. It was also to kind of give fans a glimpse into making a wrestling television show.
Ah, that's
and
interesting.
First, there's alternate commentary over every episode. Keith Lipinski and I sat down and did commentary that wasn't just about WSX, that episode per se, but it was about the process and what led up to the decisions that were made on talent and how this angle came about and where it was going in the season 2, perhaps. Certain things that MTV required us to do, certain angles and gimmicks that were changed because of the network, certain angles or gimmicks that we had proposed that they wouldn't go for, certain things that they wanted us to do that we just had to put our foot down and say no. So you get kind of a behind-the-scenes look at how the show was put together. And then there's also one of the things we did was we did a script gallery for episode 3. You can look and read the script, how it went from point A, the initial thoughts on the episode, all the way through the executive producer's notes, MTV's notes, standards and practices notes, all the way up to the final script, and kind of see the evolution of an episode. Plus, there's like about 2 hours of matches of wrestlers before they were in WSX. There's music videos. There's all of the virtual trading cards that we put up online, the 15 to 20 second promos of each wrestler and tag team that we put up on YouTube and various websites leading up to our show. I mean, it's 4 discs, and it's, I think, somewhere around 14 hours of content.
Now the behind the scenes stuff to me sounds far more interesting. Somebody having worked, you know, in the production and
absolutely
and so forth. For me, and the other thing, and I'm sure this is going to not. I don't know how it's going to sound, but you know, in the flip flop and fly type of matches, you know, a moonsault's a moonsault. So honestly, to me, how it's structured and put together, and you know, why you did this or did that, I think actually makes it more interesting. Just a standard, DVD of that type, anyway.
We knew that WWE or TNA, for various reasons, were never going to do a DVD release like this. I mean, we. look, nothing's sacred anymore. You guys have a radio show where you talk about the inner workings of pro wrestling, you know, The Observer and Torch, and everyone's got their newsletters. And so it's not like we're breaking any, you know, we're not breaking any secrets. What we're doing, though, is giving people a chance to look inside how a wrestling television production is put together, because it's never really been seen. And coming from the place where I came from, and, you know, I mean, I've been talking on and off with Les for over 10 years now, since I was just trying to break into the business. And, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I would have paid hundreds of dollars for the insider glimpse that this DVD set provides.
Right.
And it's nobody's ever done it before. I don't think anybody's going to do it again. And it wasn't done from a place of, hey, we were in the wrestling business, now we're out of it, let's reveal these secrets and cash out. That's not where it comes from at all. It comes from a genuine place of, I know as a fan what I would love to see on DVD, or what I would love to see in terms of like a reality show about how a wrestling company works, but nobody's done it. Nobody's going to do it. This was kind of our attempt to give people a little education about how a wrestling television production works. And specifically, I mean, they all work different. TNA works different than WWE, and obviously we work different than both of those, being under MTV's thumb. You know, WWE basically does whatever they want on any network they want, other than having to, you know, deal with basic standards and practices issues. TNA is a little bit more cooperative with Spike and work back and forth a little bit more, but still, the Spike TV isn't having a say whatsoever in TNA storylines. Right. We were the first wrestling show ever to be produced with a network, and so there was a lot that we had to do, you know, some positive, some negative, that affected how the show was produced and looked, and you kind of do get a better glimpse into what decisions were made on our end, what decisions were made on MTV's end, when you listen to the alternate commentary. And then there was also alternate commentary from some of the wrestlers that came in. That 70s team did commentary over some of their matches. Chaos did commentary over some of his matches. One of the other interesting commentaries comes from our stunt coordinators, Ron Rivera, American Wildchild, and Angel, who was a wrestler in XPW.
Uh-huh.
Because this was a television production, MTV required us to have stunt coordinators.
Wow.
Well, we weren't going to go out and hire a stunt coordinator that didn't understand pro wrestling, so we went and hired pro wrestlers who have experience in Hollywood now as stunt coordinators, guys that I worked with before. On the pilot, it was actually Mondo Guerrero who served as a stunt coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the rest of the series, it was Ron and Angel. Ron was a stunt coordinator on the Nikki show that was on, I think, the WB. He's also done a ton of television and movies, and Angel has been his assistant now for a number of years. So they came in, and they did alternate commentary over two of the big stunt matches, talking about being professional wrestlers who now make a living as stunt coordinators, and how that kind of, how they got to look at and approach this production versus other productions they've been on. So it was a real, real interesting kind of piece of commentary.
You know, having had to work so closely with MTV and listening to their input, you know exactly why the mechanic at your local garage doesn't allow you to tell him how to work on your car, right?
Yeah.
This is true, yes. A question from the chat room. They were asking, well, of course, you know, this is called, this DVD series is called, or the set, excuse me, is called Wrestling Society X Season 1. Why Season 1?
Actually, it's not. The proper name is Wrestling Society X, the complete first and last season. Some of the websites that are selling it have, on their own, shortened the title to WSX Season 1. But if you look at Amazon or you look at the box itself, it is called Wrestling Society X, the complete first and last season.
So this means, you know, that this project is done, because a lot of people are wondering, are you going to try to move this to another station? Is there going to be another promotion with WSX guys, but just a different name?
I'll answer that in two parts. One, I hope for the sake of this business, this is not the last promotion like this that exists. Whether Big Vision's involved or not, I hope that somebody steps up and somebody decides to provide an alternative. Some people loved it. Some people disliked it. So some people had the kind of insight enough to go, even though this isn't exactly what I'm looking for in a wrestling product, I do see some of the positives, the exposure for the young talent, the true alternative. If you want to watch WWE, you're going to watch WWE. If TNA is more the thing for you, TNA is more the thing for you. Honestly, sitting as a fan of wrestling, I'm not enjoying either of those two products right now. And to me, yeah, I mean, yes, some they have their moments. But as an overall, I don't feel like I have to sit down and watch Raw every week. I don't feel like I have to sit down and watch Impact every week. I haven't watched an episode of Impact in months and months.
You know what? When you say that, I was talking to a young wrestler the other day, and he said to me, this is a guy had been in the business. He has an amateur background. I won't mention his name because I don't want to put any heat on him. But you know, he's a hell of a little worker too. He's been in TNA. He was under contract with WWE for a time in developmental. But anyway, I had mentioned a couple. He said, you know, Les, I don't watch anymore. And I said, well, you know, when my generation says that, everybody sloughs it off and says, well, you know, you're jealous or you're bitter or you're mad because you can't do a quadruple somersault. You know, but when it's somebody your age says that, you know, I don't know what they can use as a cop-out because you are that generation, right?
Yeah,
and you're not immured with the product, and I totally understand why.
Yeah, you know, like I said, there's moments. There are moments, but it's not the feeling that it was
right
back during the Monday Night Wars or even at one point a little bit earlier during TNA. I don't have any desire. I still TiVo it every week, but
yeah,
99% of the time, weekend comes around, I look at my list of what's recorded, and I just erase it. I don't even start to watch it.
Wow.
And I just, you know, I try it every now and then. I mean, I actually had an hour last night that I wasn't doing anything, and I sat down and I watched the first hour of Raw, and it's not must-see TV anymore for me. And I know that a lot of people feel that way. That's why the business is stagnant. The ratings are not growing, and that was our one hope with Wrestling Society X. It wasn't, and I know I discussed this on your show before, it wasn't just about Wrestling Society X as a product. It was about trying to reinvigorate the pro wrestling business. It was about trying to turn the 12, 13, 14-year-olds who think that wrestling's not worth their time now into fans, to take some of the fans that are my age, you know, that are in their you know, mid-20s to mid, you know, 30s and 40s, who watched during the Monday Night Wars, who watched when ECW was hot, who watched before, and turn them back into fans. And unfortunately, we just didn't have the opportunity, really, having our legs cut out from under us before we ever really got the chance. But I really think that had we been able to reach the younger generations and the disenchanted generations, it would have done better business for WWE. It would have done better business for TNA because people would have been kind of into wrestling again. And then it would have been up to them as individual products to maintain those people's interest with that product. WSX definitely had its flaws. Some of them caused by the demands of the network. Some of them just because what we were looking to do maybe wasn't what, you know, every wrestling fan was looking to have in their product. But I definitely think that, you know, we did provide an alternative, for better or for worse, and I hope that somebody comes along to do that. Will it be Big Vision again? There will never be another Wrestling Society X called Wrestling Society X. I can tell you that right now. The legal, what we'd have to do and the deal, the way it would work with MTV, it just doesn't make sense for us to ever go and try to take WSX to another network.
Right.
But if an opportunity came along with another network to do a product that was young, hip, more in your face, and a more kind of exciting wrestling product, well, then we wouldn't necessarily be opposed to that, I could say. But we do, regardless, we do have a no-compete that basically runs through the end of this year. So that's kind of why we've been quiet.
You guys at Big Vision, of course, you have MMA DVDs out. You're working with Dave Marquez and NWA too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, and we have, you know, just WSX is only, you know, one of our DVD products, especially at this point. We've got a number of wrestling titles series. We do the NWA Pro. If you haven't seen one of the NWA Pro Wrestling DVDs, there's two of them out right now, Copa de Lucha and Fiesta Lucha. You owe it to yourself. They're $9.99 or less. They are by far the best produced wrestling series of independent shows out there right now. It looks like a television show. It doesn't feel like an indie show at a rec center. Not that there's anything wrong with those videos. I mean, look at ROH might not look like a television show, but they're damn good wrestling DVDs.
Yeah, right.
But if you watch the NWA Pro DVDs, you're going to be blown away. We've got the FIP series. It's got a lot of great up-and-coming talent and a lot of great ROH wrestlers. We've got the Shimmer series, which, I mean, Shimmer's a product in and of itself. There's nobody currently being released right now in the mainstream on DVD that doesn't like them. I'm constantly blown away by the quality of wrestling in the Shimmer organization.
Yeah, I agree with you on that 100%. Yeah, that's the best women's organization out there, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we've got, and if you're into more retro stuff, we've got the Glow, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling series. We've got obviously. We did the big releases, Hardcore Homecoming and Hardcore Homecoming 2 and Forever Hardcore. And there's actually a box set that we just released that's a limited edition box set that will be out for the holidays, where if you don't own Hardcore Homecoming or Hardcore Homecoming 2 or Forever Hardcore, or you own only one of them, this box set's $24.95 or less. It's all three of those titles. It's a great set to own. And then we've got some other new exciting things coming next year. We just launched a series called Before They Were Stars. The first one was Samoa Joe. It's got a lot of his matches before he went to TNA. We've got one coming out in January, Rey Mysterio Jr., which is a lot of his matches from Mexico even before WCW. We've got one coming out in April, which is Before They Were Stars, CM Punk, which is a lot of his FIP stuff and IWA Mid-South stuff. And so we're always looking, and we've got the Ultimate Insider series, which was the shoot interview meets Inside the Actor Studio meets pop up video series that we launched a couple of years ago, and the latest one is Doing Time with New Jack. And if you've seen a shoot interview with New Jack, if you haven't seen a shoot interview with New Jack, this is one of those must see DVDs because. Someone that reviewed it talked about how it's kind of just got a whole different vibe. There's a lot more of the not so serious side of New Jack on this DVD. We cover a lot of serious topics, but there's also a very, very funny casual side to him that you know, in and of itself is a little bit scary. But it's a really unique viewing experience, this DVD. And then also we've got all the classic XPW stuff is coming out. I have to admit I am pleasantly surprised at how well XPW season 1 on DVD is doing. We released it figuring that maybe there'd be a little bit of nostalgia love going on, but that DVD set is selling extremely well.
Excellent.
I think part of it's the price. It's like $19.98 or less wherever you buy your DVDs. For 13 episodes, I'm pleasantly surprised at how the response to that has been.
You know, speaking of New Jack, they're asking in the chat room, why wasn't Just Incredible and New Jack used after the pilot episode?
New Jack was not brought back because executives felt that he was a bit of a loose cannon. Can you imagine?
No.
I'm not saying this to try to shill DVDs. I just don't have time to go into the story right now. But on the Ultimate Insider's Doing Time with New Jack DVD, he goes into pretty much the real story of what happened and why he wasn't asked to come back and his feelings on not being asked to come back. And then for Justin, it was a matter of we had big plans for him. He was going to be one of the top guys angle and storyline-wise through the first season. But after we shot the pilot, before we actually got the official pickup, was when Vince was relaunching ECW. They made him an offer that we couldn't tell him not to take, and at that point we had no 100% guarantee of the show's pickup. So we basically let him go to do ECW. Unfortunately, he was let go from ECW right before we filmed the rest of the episode, but we had already filled his spot. Got our scripts approved, and it just wasn't going to happen for the first season. He very well could have come back if there had been a season two, but that's why he wasn't there for the rest of season one.
How long was the filming of the first season? I had heard reports that it was a week and that there were two or three different shows filmed in one day.
Yeah, the pilot itself, episode one, was shot on a single day back in February of last year, and then the other nine episodes were filmed a year ago last week. And I believe it was done, we did two episodes a day, every day, except for, let's see, how would that break down? Nine episodes, so maybe one day we did
three.
Only one, yeah, or one or three, I don't remember exactly, but it was over the period of basically a week. We had a day in the middle where we did a lot of skits and vignettes and promos, and then we had a day at the end where we did more skits and vignettes and promos, so it was definitely a unique experience for the workers because they worked, you know, most guys didn't work every show, but they worked every other show,
right.
So they were working once a day. But it was very intense. I mean, you know, there's a reason other than not wanting to show up, you know, the main event guys in WWE. I honestly do believe that in Vince's heart, he does want to make sure that the guys aren't killing themselves in the ring every night, going out there and doing, you know, Teddy Hart and Matt Sydal type of performances, you know, four or five nights a week. So it was, I mean, we escaped with no serious injuries, but you know, I got to give guys a lot of credit. They put their bodies through a lot that week, working
right.
that style basically once a day for, you know, for 4 days. And, you know, everybody made it through, but, you know, big hearts on all those wrestlers working their butts off to get through that week.
You just made me want to ask a question. When are you coming out with the Teddy Hart Mr. Congeniality DVD?
Let me tell you something. I love me some Teddy Hart. Teddy is an individual. There's nobody else like Teddy Hart. And I think that really to use Teddy Hart well, you have to be able to play off of some of who he is. And we talked about it on the DVD, but season two, every week, Teddy Hart was going to have his own press conference. And maybe one week it was just to announce that he was switching what brand of bottled water he drank.
Right.
And maybe one week it was to announce, you know, a new manager or a new financial advisor or whatever. But every week, season two, we were going to have the Teddy Hart press conference. And I think that could have been gold.
Yeah. I see that. I honest to God, I think that's a tremendous idea. And yes, you're talking about playing off that's his personality. There's not a lot of people fit in the same room with Teddy when his head's in there. And when I say, you know what, I met Teddy up in Jersey. Steamboat and I had done a weekend camp up there. And this was one of the times when he had first got himself drummed out of Ring of Honor. And he said, he said, you know, I'm not really a jackass. Because I had mentioned in my column that, his comment was that he was doing this to honor his Uncle Owen and his grandfather, and I thought if he was doing that, he might have tried to have a match, honestly, you know,
right.
And work was it. He said, you know, I'm not really an ass, and whatever, but the funny thing about the match, and I'll tell you real quickly, and it was the only time I ever watched him work live, it was the SATs, and Danny Duering was Teddy's partner. It was for Jersey All-Pro, and actually, last time I had a chance to spend time with Candido as well. But anyway, they went out there, and the SATs, of course, Duering settled them down, and they actually had a match. And Danny sold and set up the hot tag to Teddy, and Teddy had choreographed his comeback, and the match fell flat on his face.
Mm.
I mean,
you know,
it just went to pot. It really did.
Teddy's philosophy, if you ask him, is that he wants to go out there and make sure that the fans are getting their money's worth. And, you know, it's funny because usually there's two sides to every story. There's, you know, the way Teddy will tell a story, and then there's the way that other people will tell a story.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, when it came to his WWE dismissal this time, the story Teddy told me exactly matched what I was hearing from other places. And that was interesting to me. And, you know, Teddy wants to go out there. He wants to be the main event. He wants to be the guy that steals the show because he physically can. you know, love him or hate him, there are not a lot of guys that can do what he can do in the ring, just pure high spot wise, or are willing to put their bodies on the line the way that Teddy does. And, you know, in Teddy's mind, it's then his job to go out there and give the fans what, you know, they want to see.
Right.
And unfortunately for Teddy, having to then apply that into, you know, having to do that on an indie show usually isn't a problem. You know, you go out there, you know, you do what you want, you leave, the crowd leaves happy. Having to do that within the structured environment of the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, even Wrestling Society X, you know, sometimes it's just hard. And that's, you know, I think where you know, even he said to me, WWE told me my psychology doesn't work for them. That's exactly what, you know, everyone else was hearing WWE was saying.
I think it's funny the fact you used the word psychology to Teddy Hart in the same sentence.
You know, like I said, Teddy, I think, honed, if Teddy Hart, if the power and the magic of Teddy Hart can be honed, you've got, you know, we've got one of the most entertaining, exciting performers, you know, on the planet. It's just a matter of him being able to work within a structured environment. But right. Then again, you know, people looked at Wrestling Society X and went, you've got Vampiro, you've got Teddy Hart, you've got New Jack, you've got Just Incredible, you've got all these guys that, you know, maybe lumping Justin into that category wasn't right. But you've got all these guys that seem to, for one reason or another, where they go, trouble seems to follow. And, you know, how the heck are you going to, you know, control them within Wrestling Society X? And, you know, I think a lot of it comes back to, one, having the ability as a company to be in the position to be able to play up to certain guys' strengths and know their weaknesses. And again, I'm not saying that WWE was in a position at all to let Teddy be Teddy. But I think that if you're put in a position and you've got a company that can afford to let guys play up their skills and try to do what you can, sometimes in creative and somewhat where maybe they're not even realizing that you're doing things that, you know, you got to give them enough leeway, but yet understand that there has to be a structure in place where they're not going to be going against anything that hurts the overall vision, goals, and needs of the company.
Yeah.
And so, you know, had there been a season two of WSX, all those guys would have been back. Teddy would have been back. Walton would have been back. Vampiro would have been back. You know, we made concessions where we felt we could, but we definitely had a sense of structure that we needed in order to be a viable television product.
You know, Kevin, it's like you're to Teddy what Wade Phillips is to Terrell Owens. He finally found some place where he can coexist. And, you know, that's true, too. Every athlete can't play for every I don't care how great the coach is. That doesn't mean he can play for him. The personality clashes and, you know, and so forth. And you were able to, you know, to harness the lightning in the bottle, so to speak, and make it work for you. You were talking about the press release, and while I was sitting here listening, you know, we were talking about Teddy, I thought, actually, to let Teddy's personality, you need just an hour. Here's an hour with Teddy Hart. Let him just be there by himself. He can do all the goofy flips and flops off the corners and everything. It doesn't need an opponent. You know, he just goes out and entertains himself. And, I mean, honestly, you know, he's it's kind of like an hour with Robin Williams. You know, there's no structure to it. It's just, hey, I think I'll do this, and next I'll do that.
Right.
You know, that to me seems like more like Teddy. But I, you know, you mentioned Vampiro, and I've worked with him a little bit, and never found, you know, the problem that everybody else had with him.
No, I mean, and with in terms of Wrestling Society X, I mean, Vampiro was one of the people that, you know, day one when we were going to do a rock and wrestling show, I called him before anyone even knew that Wrestling Society X existed. You know, he was an associate producer on the show. Him and Cody Michaels really were responsible for the agenting every single match on the show. So, you know, it was a little bit different because here he was front office. Here he was a role model. But I worked with him in XPW. I worked with him in Mexico. Him and I have never had a problem. He's probably one of my closest friends in the business. You know, like you said, I think sometimes, you know, not every player can play for every coach. And I think that's definitely, you know, if nothing more, you know, part of what we were able to kind of do with Wrestling Society X was figure out how to make things work with guys that maybe had a hard time playing well with others.
All right. You had said earlier that you had some plans for season two for Teddy Hart, but were there any other storylines that you had set that you were going to do for season two?
Oh, yeah, a lot. I mean, that's why, again, not trying to hard sell the DVD, but when you watch the DVD and you look at you listen to the alternate commentary that we did, we basically tell you where every storyline was going, where every angle was going, even sometimes up mentioning where things would have gone in the third season. Like, for example, we used Lacey from ROH and Shimmer as our co-host for the WS Extra show and as our kind of backstage interviewer.
Right.
Well, we brought her in specifically because I absolutely fell in love with her in-ring wrestling ability watching the first Shimmer DVD. And when we do a women's division, it needs to be in that Shimmer style. So we're going to bring in Lacey. We're going to bring in Mischief. We're going to bring in potentially like a cheerleader, Melissa. And so we were planting the seed using Lacey as the interviewer for an eventual turn to becoming a wrestler with the girls that already existed, like Lizzie Valentine and Sarah Del Rey and Mickey Knuckles, who were actually on the show as managers, valets, girlfriends, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that was going to come about in a third season. But yeah, the alternate commentary definitely gives the insight into where everything was going to go. And also a little bit of, you know, what we had plans to do, but were changed as we got new ideas as season one went on.
Right.
So it's really kind of a notebook as to, you know, a sketch, if it were, as to where things were going. One of the other things, too, on the DVD is that every disc has an Easter egg. And I don't know if you remember the show intro, but the show intro was kind of a point of view of you as a viewer walking down a hallway leading up to this kind of speakeasy door that opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And so the DVD menus are you, again, walking down that hallway. But if you, if when you're on that menu, before the main menu comes up, if you, I believe, you can probably find it online, some of the message boards, but I believe it's up, up, down, down, left, right. But if you do that on each of the discs, you'll get access to an Easter egg. And on the fourth disc, the Easter egg is what our first pay-per-view would have looked like originally had MTV understood that it would have been smart to build to a pay-per-view. And you get to kind of see that was written after we shot the pilot in February, but before we actually got to the tapings in November.
Uh-huh.
You kind of get a glimpse into where season one would have been building originally, who we were planning on bringing in throughout season one, kind of get a little bit of a glimpse too as to who replaced them. And so it's kind of a little, you get a little bit more backstory there as well.
That's really cool.
And other Easter eggs include a behind-the-scenes photo gallery, you know, candid stuff that we would have never showed on TV, like Ricky Banderas getting his makeup applied and certain people hanging out backstage with each other and some of the, you know, writers working with wrestlers and stuff like that. And one of the other – then there's we had Scott Snott, who was a wrestler for XPW and All Pro Wrestling up north in Northern California, worked backstage as one of our behind the scenes guys, and he went around with what we called the snot cam, and shot random footage a couple of the days in between tapings, and he got this great kind of candid off the cuff. They probably never thought it was going to be ended up being used. Kind of impromptu promo with Chaos and Aguilera, and so that's on there on one of the discs, and then because everybody loved the explosion so much in Wrestling Society X, we put an explosion reel on there where you can just take about 2.5 minutes and watch all those great explosions back to back to back. And then either write about how much you loved it or how much you absolutely hated it, and it was nice of us to put it in a 2.5-minute segment for you.
Sweet. Check it out, guys. It's Wrestling Society X, the first and last season.
Yes.
Yes.
Kevin, you're not the mad scientist, but you have created some really neat things, and I'm looking forward to, I honestly am looking forward to this disc, and I wish to hell you'd talk to that guy in the mailroom.
Yeah.
I did. They're fired. They're out of here tomorrow, and I will personally walk down there and FedEx you guys out your copies.
Sweet.
I definitely can't wait to hear what you guys have to say.
Excellent.
Good. Well, you'll have to come back and join us again. It's been tremendous, man. And
absolutely love to.
Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
I did, and I hope you did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, you know, us old folks, it's just,
it's a little bit of turkey and a nap at the Thatcher household. Kevin Kleinrock, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly. Kevin, we'll talk to you again soon. Really appreciate you coming on.
No problem. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kevin.
Les, we have some news to move on to, sir.
Okay.
One more time about Kevin. I thought that was really interesting stuff, and I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, and the discs sound interesting. They really do.
Yeah. Booker T had a teleconference this afternoon.
Yes.
For TNA, where he addressed some rumors about being connected to the Signature Pharmacy scandal. Booker said that he had never ordered anything from Signature, and he's never used his credit card on the internet to buy anything ever. Booker claimed that WWE didn't protect him. When asked how his name got on the list when he didn't order anything, he said, I really can't answer that question. I believe in conspiracy theories. I believe I was a scapegoat. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, you know, I don't know what to say about that because I honestly don't know.
Right. He said, she said, basically, you know. But
you know, I would tell you, my personal experience with Book has all been very positive, very good. He's always been a gentleman. When he first came into WWE, he came in and worked. We ran some casino shows here on the Ohio, Grand Victoria Casino down the Ohio River on the Indiana side. And it was a co-deal with Ohio Valley. They brought up they're the best of their best, and I brought the best of my best, and we had some stars. And anyway, to me, Booker's always been very professional, and I don't know.
There was some other stuff that came out of the teleconference today. He had said that he's working on a documentary about his career.
Uh-huh.
That should be coming out later on. That him and his brother Stevie Ray currently have some issues, but he was hoping that they could put them to rest and
get, oh really?
Yeah.
He was on with us a couple years ago.
Yes.
And I like Stevie's funny. I get along with him. I'll tell you what, Charmel is one of the best people on the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I don't mean this in a sexist way, but most of the time the girls aren't real good on the stick. You know, on the mic, because, well, in part, I guess, because they don't get a lot of mic time, but she impressed me immediately in WCW, you know, when she was with formerly known as, if you remember, she was Paisley or something.
Yeah, she was Paisley.
Yeah,
with,
anyway,
Prince
but, yeah, before I ever met Charmel, and then when she was down Ohio Valley, I got to know her, and I really like her as a person, too. You know, I don't know how much they will use, you know, how well they will use her in TNA, but she's of course, Book can talk for himself, too, but she's, you know, she's very comfortable with a microphone.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I do want to let you know this is not wrestling news or anything, but it is show news, and I did want to mention this, that the Wrestling Radio Awards, the nominations are going on right now, and we need votes.
Are we nominated for anything?
The nominations are going on right now. They are going to put the ballot out on December 10th. But you can go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com and vote, or at least nominate, Wrestling Weekly. We would really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun doing the awards
last year. Doc would like to be nominated as Stud of the Year.
They don't have that category yet.
They don't. Well, they should.
I think what they know is that if they did have that category, then the same person would win every year, and it would just be, you know, it would just be boring.
And you, Brad Pitt, is sexiest man in the world.
Sexiest host alive.
People magazine, and you and Brad could go to war every year, right? It wasn't Brad. It was Matt Damon this year. I'm sorry, it wasn't Brad Pitt. It was Matt Damon.
I don't even know. I don't read People anymore. I actually read that more when I was younger than I do
now. You know what? That used to, and this had nothing to do with the wrestling business, but I have all except two issues of the very first 2 years of People magazine. To me, it was a great magazine back in the, when I was, I would get on a flight, you know, it's when I was commuting between Charlotte and Knoxville,
mm-hmm.
On a weekly basis, and it was a magazine that I almost read, you know, from one end of the flight to the other. And, you know, there's the short capsule, you know, stories and stuff. So it was that was good for me.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just gotten too gossipy lately.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that.
But yeah, it was some good reading back in the day. Speaking of reading, you and I were talking last week about how WWE had at the magazine had revealed that Chris Jericho was going to be back. Before he even came back, and in the same issue now, there was a little article about recent arm injuries in the WWE, and they had when Mark Henry, Ken Kennedy, and Bob Holly had returned. Then for Edge, it had said November 11th, but then it had Bobby Lashley's name on there, and it said December 07. So if that's any indication, you know, it looks like they've done it again, and Lashley is going to be returning sometime next month.
I haven't. You know what I was thinking the other day, and I don't. You know, it's. I was thinking that they've gone on without him. There has been no mention of him, in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And the world has seemed to have circulated very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's. You know, and I was thinking then, what will they do with him when he comes back? And how will he fit in the mix?
Right.
I mean, with Jericho and Edge and Michaels. When I say, you know, these guys are all experienced veterans, and obviously they, you know, they jump right in wherever.
Right.
With him, you know, it's be a little different, I think.
All right. We'll have to see. TNA news. Sting has a new offer on the table from TNA to return to the company for another year. As of now, he's going to be taking a break from TNA until the end of the year, and then he's going to decide if he wants to return. Word is that he was strongly considering retirement. When his deal with TNA expires this year, so if Sting doesn't re-up, we've seen the last of him.
Well, you know what? It's at some point you just, you know, tip your hat and slowly ride away.
Mm-hmm.
I think here again, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way to Sting, but I think they have done with him what they can do with him.
Yeah. And they didn't really make him into the big household name that they thought
that's in part because they're not the big total name. You got to realize they don't
right.
pull that. You know, there's a lot of people that still don't know what TNA is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you mentioned TNA just a casual person, and they'll say, huh? But I think that, this is not a... Well, I guess it is a negative view. I think TNA doesn't handle their talent real well in terms
right.
of how they use them. But I think, you know, in terms of what they've done with him and can do with him, they've done.
Right.
You know? You know, and you know, he's earned his keep. And at one, you know, you got to think, well, you know, at the price, what's that mean for them over the next year, you know? Well,
yeah,
you know, when
true.
Kevin's on there, I was thinking, too, talking about, how they talk very candidly about their company and this and that, and I'm hearing mixed, you know, the mixed reviews on the DVD about the TNA the early years, or the first year, or whatever the hell the title is, and I had read somebody, you know, comparing that, what they say on there, to what Jerry Jarrett says in his book, you know, Mm-hmm. They, of course, make it sound like on the DVD as though there were no mistakes.
Right.
You know.
You kind of got to, don't you?
Huh?
You kind of have to, don't you?
Well, you know what? I don't know. I think, you know, I don't know that there's anything perfect. Is there?
No.
I don't mean this in a sacrilegious way, and somebody may take it that way, but, you know, I've made this statement before. From what I understand, that there was only one perfect human being, and that was Jesus, and they killed him for that, right? I mean, and I don't mean, like I say, I'm not being blasphemous. I'm just making it, you know.
Right.
So, but no, I think, I haven't read the book, but I've read excerpts, and I've heard people talk about it. Jerry Jarrett's, you know, his book is basically candid. It's like notes, you know, his diary, you know, or daily remembrances and emails and so forth. And he talks about the warts on the end of their nose, right?
Right.
And they're right, you know, there's no such thing as never, you know, it's like some of the guys in my generation say, and we worked with sellout house every night. I wanted to know where the hell all those sellouts were.
Right.
I didn't get on all of them, and I worked some of these shows these guys do. But no, to me, you know, sometimes it's the warts that are more interesting than you know, the sellouts.
Right.
Well, because, you know, because that's that humanizes things, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's part of the problem, I think, with the business. Kevin was saying, you know, he TiVos or DVRs everything and erases a lot of it just because it's like, oh, hell, here we go again.
Right.
You know, I think that too much with the creative process in both companies is they take the human element out of it, you know, and turn everybody in. You expect everybody to be wearing a Superman cape and coming out of a phone booth, and that's not what I turn wrestling on for.
Right.
You know, I turn the Saturday morning cartoons on for that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, I don't watch Heroes. Right. Although that's a high rated show. It's a good show.
Because of the cheerleader.
Huh?
Because of the cheerleader.
I couldn't tell you, but obviously you know.
I saw the pilot. I saw the pilot episode.
Okay,
good.
But I mean, what I'm saying is, you know. I think the human element of things make things, you know, where you know the more and our and the wrestling business over my lifetime in this business, which is nearing half a century, where you can relate is how you get hooked,
mm-hmm.
right? When it becomes something that you don't understand or something that's above you, then you're not as apt to get as immersed in it.
Right.
You know, I think that's where they're missing the boat, you know.
You
and again,
right.
when somebody Kevin's age says, hey, I don't watch this much because I'm not interested, and he is a big, like he said, he and I have been communicating. I was thinking after he mentioned over 10 years, something like 12, 13 years since he first, you know, decided to get in the business and we started communicating. And, you know, he bounced things off of me. But so he's a legitimate fan.
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, and I've been in the business all these years, and I was talking about the wrestler, the young wrestler who said to me that the things that enticed him to get in the business almost 10 years ago aren't there to entice him any longer.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
Yep.
That's like, okay, we're going to have baseball this year, but we're not going to have any bases.
Right.
And the home run's not legal, and, you know, and one umpire. I mean, it's just, you know, it's, and you know what? The stands aren't full. Why? Well, I think probably it's because you've taken away the element so much of what the people wanted to see to begin with.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Here's some sad news for you, Les. The Wrestling Observer is reporting that TNA World Tag Team Champion Travis Tomko underwent emergency surgery last Wednesday for what New Japan has announced as a torn muscle under the side. That's a quote. It remains to be seen if it was a torn abdominal or not. Really haven't heard much about it since then, but or how long he's going to be out or anything like that.
I don't know either. You know, and I told you, I like the Styles Tomko tag team. I really mm-hmm. did. I you know, I think they're different enough that it makes them work well together.
Hopefully it's not it's nothing too serious, and if he has to miss time, he'll be back soon because like you said, it's a bright spot on the show.
Yeah, it certainly is.
PW Insider's reporting that Consequences Creed, who appeared at TNA's Bound for Glory pay-per-view back in October, teaming with Ron Killings against AJ Styles and Tomko, has signed and returned his TNA contract. Creed is expected to start with the company very soon.
What happened to Joey Mercury?
I have no clue.
I thought he and Johnny Swinger supposedly were.
Yeah.
You know.
That was the big story, and then just nothing.
And when I say I haven't seen Creed, but I know Joey's is a good hand. See, I don't know. To me, it's here again. I'd liken our business to solid professional football or baseball or basketball teams, and I think they need solid veterans to harness the young guys, to teach the young guys, to keep the young guys on the path to righteousness or whatever you want to call it. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Joey would be one of those guys. Like I say, I don't know the Creed kid, but. The one thing is that Angle, when he was saying the dinner prayer at Thanksgiving, he said, gave thanks that Pac-Man Jones is no longer with TNA, and I thought, there's... I'll go for that, brother.
Amen.
Yeah, exactly. But,
God bless us all. you were talking earlier about Jerry Jarrett's book and how... he was basically candid about it, and I guess one of the big stories that's going on right now is about Batista's book and just how candid he was in this book about mistakes that he has made, things that he has done, blah, blah, blah. Well, Charleston.net, our good friend Mike Mooneyham, over has an interview with Batista talking about his book, coming clean to his wife about his infidelities. But one of the real interesting things, though, is that he revealed that he's dating Melina, of all people.
Which means that Nitro isn't any longer, right?
Right. And he talks about this, and that they had been split up for a while, I guess, and nobody really knew about this. But Charleston.net has this whole interview up with him, and it's pretty good, and I'm interested to read Batista's book, actually. Because I know it's
when I say this, I've known Dave since he was in OVW, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have no problems with Dave. It's just I find it, well, and when I say that, I say the same about The Rock. When you write a book and you've spent 15 minutes in the business, what the hell are you writing about?
This is true.
You know, it's like Barry Bonds, My Rookie Year. okay, that's 3 pages, and what do we do? But Dave, hasn't been in the business that long.
Right, and it was the same thing sort of like with Edge's book. Edge wrote his autobiography before he ever won the world title once. And what's he up to, 3?
I don't keep track of that anymore because it's meaningless.
Right.
I mean, when I say that, quite frankly, it's meaningless.
Right.
The fact that Harley held the belt 7 times or that Thez held it, for those of you who don't know who Thez was, a great champion.
Mm-hmm.
Some youngster out there saying, who the hell is he talking about? 5 times, that was legitimate. Those were when the world champions, and the belts didn't change hands every 15 minutes.
Right, but the point is...
And the point is that I don't keep track, and how many times 3Ds had a tag team title, I don't care.
Right.
It doesn't matter, and I don't mean that as I have no problem with Bubba or no problem with Devon. Personally, I get along with both of them. But it's just those things don't mean anything to me anymore,
right.
Honestly.
The whole thing was, though, that, Edge wrote that pretty early. And I really wasn't a big Edge fan at the time. He really didn't, come into the main event status yet. He really hadn't done a lot of the memorable angles and storylines that he's done by now. So the book kind of like it's a first part. Like
I said. I think that you mentioned Jarrett's book. I helped, when I say I helped break him into business as a referee and then as a wrestler. I don't mean I trained, but I worked with him when he was green his grass and you know, it's, you know, and needed help. And you, when he was refereeing, we had to tell him a lot of times the things to do. And I also worked on his first crew he ever had. I was one of the guys on the roster. But his candor in the book, I'm interested in reading it simply. He finds Vince Russo's a doofus. And you know what? Ray Charles would see the same thing.
It goes without saying, sir.
Huh?
It goes without saying.
But the other book I want to read is Hearts, Brett's.
I've
heard nothing but tremendous reviews about that. You know, so
if they'll ever bring it out in
well,
this country.
It's out. It's just not in the States yet.
Right.
It's out in Canada, but. You know, that's the Jericho book sounds like it's entertaining.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to all that stuff.
Well, buy all those things for me for Christmas.
I know. We got a Christmas list going on here, guys.
Yeah, right.
We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, Chris Masters is going to be with us, former WWE superstar. We're going to be talking to him about his career. He's going to be answering your questions. Come on into the chat room. If you're not here already, at WrestlingWeekly.com, click on the chat link on the main page, and come on in and get your questions ready for Chris Masters. We're going to take a break and get him on right now. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly, guys. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally. You pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn!
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Madmaniacs.com.
Yeah, baby, I know I'm hot and everything, but you just gotta check out Wrestling-Radio.com. They're hotter than ever before, with the latest news, videos, and exclusive interviews that you won't get anywhere else. It'll turn you on.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania, the largest arms in the world, run wild on you?
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do, baby. I'm gonna go right to Wrestling-Radio.com to hear shows like Heaven Legends, The Irish Whip, and Wrestling Weekly. It's unbelievable the amount of wrestling media they have on this website. There's so many wrestling radio shows, it will blow your head off.
If you want some, come get some.
Oh, I'm coming, baby. And it's not too bad either. It's right to Wrestling-Radio.com. Got to log on and check out all the stuff going on there. They're better than ever before. With their brand new ideas, Wrestling-Radio.com is guaranteed to take over the internet and revolutionize wrestling radio like never before.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Wrestling-radio.com, revolutionizing wrestling radio for wrestling fans everywhere.
Mr. Kennedy! Kennedy!
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
the legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm, Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin's Raven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT on WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
On total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you here at Wrestling Weekly. And, well, we did give Chris Masters cell number a call. And
he's missing in action.
He is missing in action. We're going to try to see if we can't get him back for next week.
I'll tell you what, on the 11th, I'm up for that. My good friend, longtime friend, Blackjack Mulligan, one of the an entertaining guy, a hell of a guy. He and I spent some time together in a couple territories, and Jack's going to be our guest, and we're going to have a good time with him. He's a great storyteller, man. Believe me, take my word for it. He'll draw you in. He is that cowboy from the old west. It's not a gimmick. It's not a work.
That's going to be really cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Jack doesn't do a lot of these things, and he and I were talking a few weeks ago, and I just said, "Hey, would you?" Yeah, he said, "I'll do one with you." So, one of the great promo guys, honestly. If you go to blackjackmulligan.net, and it's like a jukebox, Blackjack's greatest hits, and you can hear some of his promos, and
sweet.
You'll hear a lead-in voice that you might recognize, too, because it's either myself or Bob Cottle doing the lead-ins on these promos, which were done back in the mid-70s. So, and you talk about working with some promo guys. We used to do over 100 spots every Wednesday afternoon in Raleigh at WRAL, at the TV station. And along with Mully, there was superstar Billy Graham, Mass Superstar, Boris Malenko, Ole Anderson, Ric Flair. So you talk about guys who knew how to use a microphone, and we used to crank out. And you know what? We seldom had to do any retakes. And if you stop to think with these scripted promos today, that they expect these, you know, here's what I want you to say and how I want you to say it, it could take days to do what we did in 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
seriously.
We're going to have the entire December schedule up for you in a few days at WrestlingWeekly.com. Let you know who our guests are going to be.
Of course, Christmas and New Year's falls on Tuesday, so we won't be doing either one of those.
Absolutely.
We
are taking a hiatus. We're taking a holiday vacation is what we're taking. And I'm going somewhere sunny.
You're going to do what?
I'm going somewhere sunny.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm going right here, probably.
Have you put up your tree yet and all that?
Well, you know what? We haven't had a tree up in a while. I've got the outside lights.
Les, you have to have a tree.
I do?
Yeah. This is not an age thing. You have to have a tree on Christmas.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't.
We
got a small tree a few years ago, and we've got a big window, open window in our kitchen where the morning sun comes in, mm-hmm. and we've kept this little tree alive for about 5 years now.
Wow.
A lot of times we go down to my wife's family in North Carolina and stuff, so
right.
The tree would, you know, it's just, you'll get old someday.
I already feel old.
But
I know that. I know that makes you burn. You're like, oh, you little. But I do. I feel old sometimes.
Well, you know what? It's the mileage. It's not.
I think it is. It's.
But you know what? If I stop and think about the mileage, hell, I'm probably 30 years older than I actually am.
That's true too. That is.
I've lived. You know that was one of the things Blackjack and I were talking about too. Is that the things we've done and the times we've put in and. You know, it reminds me, I was just watching 60 Minutes Sunday night with the interview of the Eagles, which is one of my all-time favorite bands. And I always said it's like the song, Take It to the Limit, One More Time. And I'm thinking, how many times have we done that?
Right.
Or tried to take it to the limit. Maybe we didn't reach it all the time. But it's been a hell of a run, man. I can't complain, but I won't.
Well, that's good. We're playing Ask Less, guys, right now is what we're going to do. You can ask a question. Well, you can ask me a question if you want, but you're probably not going to get a good answer. But we're going to take some questions for Less. We haven't done this in a while.
I wanted to ask you, Doc, what's your secret of being such a sensual male and having the women just lined up for miles?
I think it's really genetics. And
you know what it is?
No, I'm just kidding. Like, I have the whole prepared
it's your
answer.
Your height, right?
Yeah.
once you puff your chest up and stand at that full 5'6", you're
5'8", sir. 5'8".
Okay.
WTV Rayel says, Les, what are your thoughts on Scientology and if you think it would work as a gimmick in wrestling?
Scientology. You know, I honestly know that John Travolta is a Scientologist. Mm-hmm. I know that Tom Cruise is. I'm not really that well versed in that. I am religious. I'm a Protestant, Baptist Presbyterian. You know what? I don't know if it'd work as a gimmick or not. You know, virtually anything will work, I think, as a gimmick in the business if it's. If the gimmick is made with a person who makes it work, you know, it's not the gimmick that makes the wrestler; it's the wrestler that makes the gimmick.
Right.
And so I would, but you know, and in this day and age, you know, I don't know if that would be a touchy situation with people or not. I don't really know.
It depends, like because the Scientologists and especially the big celebrities and things like that. I think it's touchy because. Of the big celebrity front.
You know, I think everybody, you know, I'm going to tell you real quickly, and we're not going to get into religion because that's
right.
The two things you don't want to get into a discussion about are politics and religion.
Right.
You know, Judaism, Catholicism, Hindu religion, Muslims, Protestants, you know, I kind of look at religions like General Motors. G General Motors has Chevrolet, Pontiac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Cadillac. You know what? But they're all made by General Motors, and I kind of think maybe religion is the same way. Mm-hmm. Everyone goes about it a different way. But
plus, they're all cars.
You know, maybe it boils down to this being the same. I don't know.
Right.
You know, I'm not smart enough to know.
Rhode Island Red says, do you know whatever happened to any of the old school refs? Jack Lotz, Dick Kroll, Teddy Yorkson, Freddie Sparta, etc.
Who?
This is the question.
Who are these people?
Old school referees.
Give me the names again.
Jack Lotz, Dick Kroll, Terry Yorkston, Freddie Sparta.
I don't know where these guys might have refereed at. Some of the old NWA referees, Tommy Young, I just saw it in Charlotte back in August at the NWA Legends convention. Mac McMurray is a personal friend, lives down in Del Rio, Tennessee. Stu Schwartz, who refereed, you would have seen Stu on the old Crockett, Mid-Atlantic NWA stuff. Stu is and his wife, Bonnie, live in North Carolina. Trying to think of any of the other referees that, trying to think. Who else? Bobby Simmons. Is a minister, lives in the Atlanta area. See Bobby in Mobile, every March for the at the Gulf Coast reunion. The names that he just mentioned to me, I'm not aware of those guys.
Right.
Oh, Charlie Smith, NWA referee, Scrappy McGowan. They both, I see both Charlie and Scrappy in Mobile. They both live around Atlanta. Trying to think of anybody else. That pretty much covers it, I think.
Resthold has a question, and I don't know if this question is meant to be provocative or aggressive or anything, but it says, do you think that too many of the old-school wrestlers are praised for their use of psychology when in reality they're using lazy rest holds to get their energy back for the next set of moves?
Well, you know what? I never heard the word or the phrase rest hold until the last 10 or 15 years.
Right.
I don't know. To me, I don't believe in a rest hold. It is that, I guess, in actuality. You run your spots and then you work. But if you're working that hold, it's not a rest hold. And my teachings are is that if you have me in fighting to get out of it and you're fighting to keep me in it, then people are anticipating that we're going somewhere with this.
Right.
Then we still have their attention, and it's not a. If you get that hold on me and you sit there like a statue, and I sit there like a statue, my sarcastic sense of humor tells. I tell kids when I see that, you know what pigeons do with statues.
Right.
So watch your head. So I don't believe in rest holds, and as far as holds the guys getting for psychology. You know, here's the funny thing. There were guys during my era that I could name that you would never have a clue who I'm talking about. Uh-huh. But they weren't physically imposing. Well, I shouldn't say they weren't physically imposing. They were big guys, not necessarily the kind of shape that would have get them a contract today.
Right.
You know, more along the lines of Dusty.
Uh-huh.
You know, and when I say I don't mean that as disrespectful, but these guys understood timing. And psychology, out of that's another thing that we teach. Harley teaches, Steamboat teaches. I teach, Dr. Ton. More or less is more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's what you do, it's when you do it, and how you do it, and
right.
The effect is the effect that it has on the people. And I think a lot of times you see the young guys doing all the big bumps, and they're meaningless because they're just big bumps one after the other.
Right.
You know. And building to something and taking it and selling it, and your facial expressions and body languages are so tremendously important. And I think that's what the old, you know, you call it old school. That's what the business is, honestly, and still should be. I think today, Helmsley still understands the art of the work. Michaels, Jericho, Jamie Noble is a young guy who is a hell of a little worker.
Uh-huh.
That's what the art is. So yeah, but yeah, you know, I you know, there are young guys today that when I hear how great they are, I roll my eyes and think, gosh, they've seen something I don't see. But, yeah, there were guys from my generation who were probably overrated,
yeah.
You know, as, yeah, that's, I think that just goes with anything. You know,
right.
A lot of times it's subjective, especially subjective if you don't understand, you know, the actual art of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I think, just to add to that, for the person that asked the question, I don't think it's about old school versus new school or young versus old. I think,
but you know what? I hate that comparison in our business, because it's why, you know, again, nobody's reinventing baseball or football or basketball or soccer or rugby for that matter. And
right.
Why are we reinventing professional wrestling?
Right. Well,
we shouldn't be, and that you know. What I learned in 1960 as the art of this business is still the basic art of this business.
Right.
You know?
And what I was going to say is that, you know, it's not new school versus old school. It's good wrestling versus bad wrestling.
Yeah.
Here's
the thing, too. Let me say this. If you've just become a fan the last 5 or 6 years or 7 years in this business, say since the turn of the century, you may not even understand what we're all talking about.
Right.
You know, talking to Jimmy Cornette a while back, he made Jimmy has a tremendous sense of humor, and he said, you know, Les, you're one of the few people I still talk about wrestling with. You've got to be over 40, because when I talk to somebody under that age, they don't have a clue what the hell I'm talking about anyway.
Right.
And, you know, it's basically this. If you've been giving me cheap beef, fried to a crisp, and that's all I've ever seen, then and you're used to sirloin steak, and I've never seen sirloin, then I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
You know, I you're making a comparison that I have no way of making. But here's the thing. You know, if you go back and watch Steamboat and Flair, Buddy Rogers and Pat O'Connor, for God's sakes, from Comiskey Park in 1961 in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
These people are artists, you know, and there's that art is slowly fading, sadly enough, and I think a lot of people other than my, you know, you hear my voice, you think, well, this old sucker is bitter, but I'm not, you know, it's you know. It's like you taking Crayolas and drawing on a Picasso.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna kind of piss him off, you know. So that's, you know, because there's a difference between fine art and just you know, scribblings.
Right.
And that's the difference in our business, I think.
Rhode Island Red says about the referee question that he said those were WWF referees in the 80s is who he mentioned.
Oh, okay. You know what? Gosh, no, I don't know anything about, you know, most of those guys.
Yeah.
A lot of the current referees I know. Hell, Scott Armstrong, I've known in ECW since he was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I have. I mean, yeah. I really have. You know, of course, I've known all the Armstrong kids since they were small.
Right. Tank says, what would it take for pro wrestling to become as great as it was in the glory days of the NWA? Or is it even possible now?
I think it's the people behind the scenes giving it the respect that it's due. You know, if they believe in it, then you believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
See? And Terry Taylor says it so eloquently. When we went to the ring, we went out there believing we were it was a shoot.
Right.
And that's what we conveyed to you. And if you don't go out there with that same feeling, then you don't convey that. But it's not just, you know, it's the whole package, right? The referee's calls have to be made like it's a shoot. I have to work like, and when I say work like it's a shoot, I don't mean physically beat the hell out of my opponent. Make you, the viewer, believe. And the commentators have to sell it the same way. And, I mean, it's a package deal,
mm-hmm.
You know. And and you know what? Even though you know it's not real, I think the art of us is just suspend your disbelief and make it, well, wow, maybe that was real, you know?
Right.
I think there's a lot of shortcuts taken, a lot of it due to the fact we were just talking about the lack of, I don't think it's, when I say the lack of talent, it's a lack of giving the talent a chance to develop and mature, and that's what we had with the territories.
Right.
You know, every time I changed a territory, not just the first 5 or 6 or 7 years, but for 20 years, it was a learning experience because I worked with different guys, I worked under different bookers. It's like playing football under different coaches. If you pay attention, you know, you pick up something new from each coach. You know, and each booker had his strengths and weaknesses. The guys you worked with, you talk about TNA style versus WWE style or Ring of Honor style. Well, you know, you go to one territory, its style is reflected something a little different than another territory. So it was like going to a different college all the time.
Right.
And that's not possible now. You know, well, I shouldn't say it's not possible. It's not possible because they're not making it. It is possible. But WWE being the huge corporation that it is, they have got to make it work. And that would mean more than just two developmental territories. And it would mean not firing all the experienced guys every time they get burnt out at the top, but sending them down to work with the guys and not bringing guys up before they're ready and not harnessing them with gimmicks that don't actually work for them. Mm-hmm. That was the other thing, too. See, a lot of that, I mean... you know, you had input even if you weren't the top star in the territory. Things were built around how you made them work.
Right.
Opposed to, here's your gimmick, Doc. Well, you know, I've never done that. Well, it doesn't care. That's what I want you to be.
Right.
And a lot of guys are harnessed with things that they're not comfortable with. So, yeah, I think the glory, well, you know, but then again, it's like the glory days of what? You know, there's 5,000 channels on my Time Warner cable system.
Right.
All right? I couldn't even, if you held a gun to my head, how many channels are on there? I don't know. 90% of them I don't watch.
Right.
You know, I don't even care about. But and there's, you know, so many more avenues of entertainment today, right?
Right.
Computers and games and things. So there's so much more competition, mm-hmm. you know? Like I was telling... Mike Johnson, PW Insider, a couple weeks ago, Asheville, North Carolina, in a three-station market back in the 70s when I was in the Crockett office, because we put together a promotional package for for the company. The Asheville station airing Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling on Saturday nights, I think 11 to midnight or midnight, whatever time it was, you know, was carrying 83% of the market.
Yeah,
83% of the television sets turned on in that market at that time were watching Mid-Atlantic. Do you realize how phenomenal that is?
Right.
I mean, that's huge, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not possible anymore, simply because of there's so much out there.
Right.
So there's, you know, the changing climate. But yeah, I think wrestling could be held in higher esteem. I think the business could be better than it is simply by taking the time. And we were talking about the Flair angle, where they just skip building to it, right?
All right.
Why is sex good for any of you that are listening to this? Because you build to it, right? I mean, if you just, well, I shouldn't say, Doc just rushed to it in 30s. He's not a 60-minute man, he's a 30-second man. But I mean, seriously, you know, I mean, everything, it's, you know, or you've heard me say here before, one of the old-timers used to tell me years ago, hey, kid, you go to a strip show, the girls don't come out naked and put their clothes back on because there's nothing to anticipate.
Yep.
You know, you have to leave something, leave me wanting.
Right. And that's the secret.
Yes.
One last question really quickly before we get out of here. They're going to kill me if I don't ask this question, but they want to know if you feel that the WWE wrestler should be penalized for smoking marijuana.
You know what? I'm a pretty liberal guy. I don't think you should drink, smoke grass, or do anything at work. You know, that's what I think.
Right.
You know, take pill. I mean, it's unprofessional. I'm going to tell you the truth. I think the war on drugs is a waste of my tax money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, penalized. You know, there's worse things in the world, I believe.
Right.
You know. Which is not, don't get me wrong, I don't want to see on somebody's board tomorrow, Les Thatcher advocates everybody smoking marijuana.
Right.
Because that's not the case either, you mm-hmm. know. But you know what? I think that's, let's face it, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, okay? So, you know, everybody's dabbled in that. I know people that drink socially and have never have a problem, and I know people should never drink.
Right.
You know, and I think it's all, but here's the deal. I don't care if you're a drinker, a smoker, a pill popper, or whatever, go to work straight. That's the professional way.
Right.
You know, I think if whatever it is you're doing inhibits how you perform for me, then I got a problem with it. If it doesn't, then what you do behind closed doors at home is your business and none of mine.
Well said. We're going to wrap up for this week, guys. Come back with us next week, Tuesday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to have the schedule up for you. Enjoy ECW if you're listening live and you're on the East Coast of America. For everybody else, we'll see you next week. Have a good one.